Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Jody E., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, March 26, 2024. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 11, the first full paragraph. Today's readers are Lisa N., Sherry M., and Becca R. There are readers. Reader of the 12 Steps is Wendy M., and the 12 Traditions, Alex K. The reference numbers for yesterday, Sunday, March 25th, I believe it was, is 21,000. 251. I have the date wrong. And this morning, oh, I do. I'm sorry. Yesterday was the 24th. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the 25th of March. Reference number is 21,252. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Wendy M. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Yes, good morning. Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Thank you, Jody, for your service. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Wendy M. And I will now ask Becca R. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Hi, Alex K. in California, compulsive eater.
Sorry, Alex.
For today. That's okay. Thanks, Jody.
Thanks, Alex.
One. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority. a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. Grateful to do service.
Thank you so much, Alex K. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone may share, but we do ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the fourth edition of the Big Book on page 11, paragraph 1. I will ask Lisa N. to begin reading for us. Thank you, Lisa.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Jody. And I'm Lisa N. from Wisconsin, grateful, recovering compulsive overeater one day at a time by the grace of God. To Christ, I conceded the certainty of a great man, not too closely followed by those who claimed him. His moral teaching, most excellent. For myself, I had adopted those parts which seemed convenient and not too difficult. The rest I disregarded. And I'm afraid that I'm right there with Bill, because I like convenience and not too difficult, and I've been like that since I was a little child. I could have people do things for me. Somehow I could get them to do it, manipulate them at a very early age to do what was something I could do for myself but wanted not to. So, of course, we know that on the previous page, on page 10, Bill is sitting in church on Sundays and hearing a preacher talk. So we know he was raised a Christian, and I was too. But yet I will say that if I could get away with something that I thought wasn't as bad as stealing or murdering or whatever the Ten Commandments were that I was taught, I would try to get away with it and not even see that it really was wrong. And it was my way of thinking about people, about blaming people, about criticizing people in my head. That was the worst. And that was what I clung to for most of my life until program. Then I had to realize that what I was doing for so many years wasn't what I had been taught. I guess all that I need to say more is that I'm so grateful for this program that taught me and anybody who hears the message of the 12 steps, because you can have your own higher power. You don't have to have Christ, but you have to have somebody that has the power to change you, your heart and your mind. And that's what I got in this program. So if you're new, don't leave until the miracle happens. And thank you so much for letting me share today.
And thank you so much, Lisa N. Although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. And I'll now take a list of people who would like to share on this paragraph 1, page 11. Who would like to share?
Patricia Ann.
Patricia N.
Ann.
Cheryl S.
Patricia Ann. Cheryl S.
Aliyah A.
Aliyah A. Okay, we'll go with that list. And if you're willing, please let us know where you're calling from and the initial of your last name. Patricia Ann, go ahead.
Good morning. This is Patricia Ann D, and I'm from North Carolina. Of course, the dog next door is going to stop barking. I'm sitting outside. Okay, so for me, Christ, I can see there's certainly a great man not too closely followed by those who claim him as morals and teaches most excellent. And this was me. I didn't follow. Okay, I didn't follow my higher power. I didn't. And I took the parts from, you know, the word of God that I wanted. And what Jesus did, you know, like he went in with the whips and threw over the tables and whatnot. So I could point out people's faults. But I didn't do as Jesus did. You know, what would Jesus do? And that was, his word says, I do as the Father tells me. And for me, now I do that. I do as the Father tells me, which is get on these meetings. And I'm surprised that it's this particular paragraph, because I haven't been talking on these meetings in a long time. And I'm grateful for this, because I need... I'm only like maybe 4 or 5 days abstinent, I'm seeking a sponsor, and it's like really awesome. Anyways, thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Patricia Ann D. from North Carolina. Cheryl S., go ahead.
Thank you, Jody. This is Cheryl S. in Nevada. And I think for me, this paragraph, what it brings up is that, you know, my religious or spiritual upbringing, my upbringing was religious, not spiritual. And I learned about God, and because I'm a Christian, I learned about Christ. But it was just, the best way I can explain it is it was just book learning. You know, it wasn't a personal kind of a relationship at all. And since it wasn't a personal relationship, I didn't take it too seriously. You know, Christmas was about Santa Claus, and they threw in the birth of Christ, too. But and that was kind of the way the whole thing went for me. And as I got older, as I became an adult and got a little bit more discerning about things, and chose my own religion, the religion that I wanted to belong to, I got a little bit deeper understanding, but still not really a close relationship. And it wasn't until I got into recovery and did the steps and really defined my higher power for me, and then turned everything over to power to the best of my ability, that I actually feel a personal relationship with a God of my understanding. That personal relationship, then it became easier to do the things that I believed that went along with my religion. And because now I had like a friend, now I had something, like I wouldn't have a friend and then just do really wacky things in the friendship and not respect that friend for who they were and that kind of stuff. That's what I'm trying to say. So it's the steps, and it's that personal relationship for me that has given me recovery. And I pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Cheryl S. from Nevada. Aaliyah A., how do you spell your first name, Aaliyah?
A-L-Y-A.
Thank you. Please go ahead.
Hi, my name is Aaliyah A. I'm a compulsive overeater from Montreal, Canada. So like many have, like some have shared earlier, you know, I was also raised a Christian. You know, my parents were religious, and, you know, I would go to Christ, you know, to ask him for things, and or when I was in trouble, asking for good grades or asking for a boyfriend or asking to lose weight. And today I have a different relationship with my higher power. I have become more spiritual with the 12 steps for sure. And the more I saw miracles, the more, you know, my relationship with my higher power is much more personal now. And I ask God what his will is for me. And I don't tell him really what I need, but I listen and I ask God to show me what he would have me be and to get guidance from my higher power and to you know, what's his will. And I do the two-way prayer, which is really has changed my life, where I sit and after my gratitudes and ask what God's will is for me. So today I have a more personal relationship with my higher power, with God, and I work, you know, on it, and I, you know, meditate to have this conscious contact with my higher power. And, you know, I don't have a fear of God like before as a kid, right? I had this fear, like if I'm not a good girl, this will happen. Now I have a loving, patient, forgiving God that, you know, is there to help me. And with the 12 steps, I have a design of living, and I see miracles happen all the time in my life and spiritual awakenings, you know, that just are amazing in my life. So, you know, they're really simple steps. And when I'm irritated or I have fear or all of the or any of those, you know, big human emotions, then I just stop, I pause, I pray, and I proceed. Whether I need to do a 10-step or an outreach call, you know, these all the tools of OA have really saved my life, all the people on the line, all my OA fellows, you know, and it's just simply amazing. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Aaliyah A. from Montreal. And who else would like to share on this paragraph 1, page 11? To Christ I conceded the certainty of a great man. Anyone else?
I would, Jody. This is Larry G. from California.
Okay, great. Larry, gotcha.
Sherry
and
H.
What? Sherry H.
Joan Marie M. from Nevada.
Darcy M. from Nebraska.
Who is that from Nebraska?
Darcy
Carol
M.
R.
Darcy from Nebraska?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, Darcy. And who was after Darcy?
Carol R.
Carol
from California.
R. And Deanna. Okay, let's.
Marianne in Michigan.
We're going to stop after Dion for this group. We've got Lady G, Sherry H, and Darcy from Nebraska, Cheryl R, and Dion R. Please go ahead, Larry.
Thank you, Jody. Larry G from California. I really enjoy the share, especially the person who kicked off the reading this morning. My name's Larry G. I'm from California. It wasn't until I came to Vision I really relate to Bill. Even as a compulsive eater, I've always related to Bill as recovering alcoholic or recovered alcoholic, but not as a recovered compulsive eater. Like Bill, I was really prejudiced. I had grew up in a big box church from K through 12. And I grew very angry at my upbringing in that church. And I'm not going to mention the church because it violates the 10th step of the 10th tradition or any religious icons I studied today. But it wasn't until I came to Vision that prejudice started to melt. And I fell back in love with the religion I grew up in. And I'm practicing in a much different way, more meaningful to me. And I'm also the icon of that religion. I is now the God of my understanding, and I study the existence of God, and it's really been, wow, what a joy and what a compliment to my spiritual recovery. And what I've discovered about myself is, you know, God gets a bad rap. I mean, you know, religion has really very little to do with God. Of course, it has a lot to do with it, but has very little to do with it because you have religious leaders who are prejudiced as well. We have wars and we have conflicts in this country about religion, and it has absolutely nothing to do with God. I mean, how in hell can I ever be angry with God who just creates miracle after miracle? And if you are recovering on this call, I'm sure you agree, you know, those of who are recovered are miracles. Power greater than ourselves could not have manufactured this. I tried for 20 years and ended up beaten in submission. And today I embrace it. In my morning meditation, I embrace some of the practices, and I focus on this beautiful icon that has served us so well millennials ago, that continues, there's a consciousness that continues to create the inner universe that I have tapped into, and it's part of my 11-step practice. So with that, I will pass it back to you, Jody.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you so much. Larry G. from California. Sherry H., where are you calling from, Sherry?
Good morning. This is Sherry H. M., calling from Washington State, and thank you so much for your service. This passage reminds me, I've heard a phrase, there are no atheists in foxholes, how they used to fight wars, because when you get the when I got the gift of desperation, this is where he's at, you know, willing to try anything, willing to try just whatever it did take, because I could not do it myself. And I grew up being taught that to never ever, you know, go into organized religion, that it was bad, that all that. So the irony is, of course, I rebelled against that. And I did go into, seek higher power through church. But anyway, I realized that, you know, I just could not do this myself. So finally, getting the desperation, after hearing, you know, who was my Ebbie, the person that told me about the program, I was so desperate with all my medical bills. I was just flat out sick of it, from lupus and ankylosing spondylitis. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to do whatever it takes. So I drove home from that. It was a Starbucks we had met at, and I was drinking a what actually turned out to be my last peppermint mocha, because those things had really been running my life. And I knew it was making the inflammation a lot worse, but I couldn't stop. So I'm so glad that the Lord has pulled me up and out of that pit of despair. And now I never had a God that was shaming like some people, you know, have experienced. My God in some ways is like a golden retriever, just loves me all the time. Yeah, it's not that simple. Actually, you know, there's a lot more depth and everything to it. But he has helped me, and he's pulled me up out of this pit, and I can't thank him enough. So thanks to the Lord, and thanks for all you guys who are put on this meeting today. And I pass.
And thank you, Sherry H.N. from Washington. Joan Marie N. from Nevada, please go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. What a beautiful share. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah, it starts out to Christ. Wonderful way to start off a sentence, a paragraph. I love the big book, and I love the other big book. And what I found was God's Word, which is the Bible, taught me how to live life. The big book teaches me how to put it into action, put it into best in my life in such a way that it's marvelous. You know, it says part of the promises that our whole outlook on life and attitude has changed. A spiritual experience sufficient enough to bring about recovery. This whole book is about God. May you find him now, a power greater than ourselves. And it was only God that took the compulsion and the obsession away. And when I got to that desperate point again and asked him to do that, and even before I started the steps again, that's what happened. But in order to keep that, I have to be very close to my Creator. I have to be aware of him through prayer, praying about everything and anything, and even before I speak or talk or listen, whatever, it's prayer. And prayer is the answer to everything for me, because it's going beyond my nature and my fleshly nature, I should say, and it goes to the heart of God. When I pray, I hear that two-way prayer. I've done that for years and never had a name for it, because I'll write down a situation or what's on my heart, and then I'll write again, and it's right there. Or I'll pick up a book or a meditation book, and there's the answer right there. So God does hear prayers. He may not answer them the way we think he should, because he's God and not me. Thanks for letting me share. Bye.
Thank you, Joan Marie N. from Nevada. Darcy from Nebraska, what's the initial of your name?
Thank you for letting me share. This is Darcy from Nebraska. What I learned as a child was that my family, we went to Sunday school and church. We went to Sunday school every day, every Sunday, but church we went two or three times a month. But what I learned was he was a gentle God, but I didn't feel him. I mean, I really didn't get to know him or anything. And then as I got older, I still didn't feel him. And I was always told, well, find a church, find church until later on, but in OA, I actually found my higher power, which was God. And with him, I have actually felt his feeling, I felt his spirit. If I hear something and I start to be moved by it, I usually start to cry, and I know it's him that is working on me and trying to teach me something. Right now, he is putting me through some trials that he's trying to get me to break my pridefulness or my stubbornness or whatever you want to call it, to be more willing to call upon him and get my absence down, because he's given me so much that I have to handle at one time, that I'm doing one step. It's definitely a one step at a time business, because I can't handle it all at one time. But I know he's there. And I also know and I believe that he doesn't give us any more than we can handle at a time. And I hope I'm not going off topic, but he is a loving God, and he is for me. And I learned that in Sunday school, but I've learned more after coming into OA, because I've had those spiritual experiences that have been so astounding that I was in awe for days afterwards. So I know he's there, and I just have to let go and let him take care of me, because I can't do it now anymore. He has to help me get through this trial right now. So I thank you for letting me share. I'm Darcy M. from Nebraska, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Darcy M. from Nebraska. Cheryl R. from California, please go ahead. Cheryl R., press star 1. Perhaps Cheryl is having technical difficulties. Dion R., please go ahead, and I'll go back to Cheryl.
Hi, this is Carol R. I'm sorry, Cheryl. I thought you said Cheryl.
I did say Cheryl. Go ahead, Carol.
Hi, I'm Carol R. from California, and I drew a big circle on this page. I'm learning how to do the 12 steps. And on that circle, many times my life, I was told to put God in the center. And I've realized that my God has been on the edge of the circle, because I decide what I'm going to do for that day in the past. Now, I guess, what I'm learning is that God does need to be in the center, and I have to ask him every day, what is your will for me today? And I have to choose whether I'll be willing to do what he asks me to do. And in the past, I've helped build a school, and I watch these people make bricks, and they make them by hand, every brick, one at a time. And I realize that I'm learning one brick at a time, and that takes a while to build the school. So God is doing that in my life, and I am building on what I learned yesterday and adding another brick of willingness so that grace from God can come in. And as I do that, grace comes in. But it took me many years to understand that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Carol R. from California. And Dion R. from Ohio, please go ahead. Beyond.
Good morning, all. Oh, can you hear me, Jody?
Yes, I can. Thanks.
Good morning, everyone. Let's sit perfectly still. Hearing aid doesn't go off. It'll kick the phone off if I move too much or get too excited. My name is Dion Orr, very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from the seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. I am grateful to share on this path. I'm grateful what God woke me up, my higher power. I'm grateful he gave me Overeaters Anonymous because of religion and many people talked about and identified in contrast with this morning remind me of how I was on the path of hell because I was following a man's direction, and I know they did the best they could in the state of mind they was in and all that, kudos, kudos, I think. But the gift is it sent me to the opposite of direction of wanting to look for Christ. I was like, Bill, they're not even following this dude they're talking about. I don't even know if it's real now. I just didn't know which was real. Was it Memorex? Was it real? You know, it was, I didn't know. Until I came to these rooms, you guys allowed me to find a God to my of my own understanding that makes sense to me, that wasn't beating me with a whip, so to speak, making me sit in line, stand in line, shut up, you know, stuff that was passed on to them. The gift is, because you allowed me to do that, I could spread that back to my family, and they begin to see the Christ of their understanding could change, too, and they could modify it for what childbirth pains they learned, right? And the gift is, the gift. This time of season and speaking, I could see Christ almost in anyone now. I couldn't before. All I saw was pain, ugliness, so much evil. Today I see love and I see some peace. And I even see compassion for people who don't even know how to say, I need some compassion. You know, I can offer them that whether I receive it or not. And that's Christ. Because this girl right here, this young lady, ooh-wee, this old woman, I did not do that before, but I learned, you guys allowed me to grow into this flower I am. I love it. Yes, Christ. I love him. I'm grateful that God used a human being to save my life and give me freedom. Somebody told me, and they opened the door, and it kept opening, and it keeps blossoming. So, yes, newcomers, you can come here and find out of your understanding. Mine was not human, but it was something that gave me a chance to open my mind and say, oh, maybe they're right. They're staying absent. They're staying happy. They got their joy through all what they're going through. They don't pick up. Why not give it a chance? And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for allowing me to be just a little soldier in the army of recovery. And I thank you all. Keep coming.
Thank you so much. Dion R. from Ohio. We have time for a few more shares. We are on page 11, the first
Sherry?
Full pair. Mm-hmm.
Mary? Mary Penn from Michigan.
Was that Mary from Michigan?
Mary. Yeah, Mary Ann from Michigan.
Mary Ann from Michigan.
Donna L. Okay. College View.
Donna L.
Sherry M. from Wyoming.
Sherry M., I think I got you already, unless there was another.
Yeah, I think you did. Nope,
okay.
That's it. Thanks, Jody. Thanks.
Sherry M., Mary Ann, and Donna M. And Polly, if we have time, we'll take this as well. Go ahead, Sherry M., followed by Mary Ann.
Yeah, thanks so much for taking the meeting. Hi, my name is Sherry M., and happy Monday, everyone. I'm gratefully recovered today in Wyoming. And I'm so grateful that I had such amazing sponsorship. And these sponsors in different programs always, as soon as we work the steps, they immediately said, the traditions, Sherry, are just as important because without the traditions, you won't have a meeting. So, this paragraph that we're reading today, and this has lately been on my heart, and so I thought I would just read. This is tradition 10 of our group, and so I think it's super important that we remember this and that I specifically remember it, that no AA group or member should ever, in such a way, as to implicate AA express any opinion on outside controversial issues, particularly those of politics, alcohol reform, or sectarian religion. The Alcoholics Anonymous groups oppose no one. Concerning such matters, they can express no views whatever. So for me, what I've been taught is my religious beliefs need to stay offline, off out of a meeting, and to be private with either my sponsor or my sponsees, and that I should share in a general way because our book and all of our steps all reference a higher power or God. There are other words for these higher powers, like spirit of the universe and some other, the intelligence, and these things that are in the agnostics. But for purposes of sharing, because we never know who's going to be listening, and somebody new could be coming in, and maybe they don't feel a certain way about this entity that I'm constantly talking about, or, and telling someone what my religion is will not help them recover. And it honestly has no bearing with me recovering. And how do we know that? Because Dr. Bob had religion and it didn't help him. So I have to be very careful, just as I would never bring my politics to a meeting when I'm sharing, I also don't bring my religion. It's controversial. And as much as maybe we're all in agreement with the same religion, that's neither here nor there. But we have to consider maybe that one person coming in who doesn't feel that way and maybe hasn't yet come to step two where it asks us if we're willing, do I believe or am I even willing to believe that there is a power greater than myself? I want to assure the newcomer that that is required for this door to open. You will have your own concept. You will be able to practice whatever you want to practice. Step 11 gives us that individual thing, but on a group level, this is a slippery slope, and I think it is worth mentioning in the meeting. So thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you very much, Sherry M. from Wyoming. Mary Ann from Michigan, please go ahead.
Good morning, and thanks for letting me share, and thank you for your service. I very much appreciate the last share. I know that we're not meant to be evangelists. And sometimes in our passion, or my passion, the way I think about my higher power, I'd like to speak about. But that I can do on a private level with someone who is asking me. Other than that, I'm so grateful, I'm eternally grateful, that Ebby says to Bill, why don't you come up with your own concept? And that is the reason I stayed 40 years ago. And because of that, why don't you come up with your own concept? I have lived a life where I've continued to learn and grown closer and closer with the spiritual nature of this program. And it is the core of my life. And I treasure that the book says this is broad, roomy, and all-inclusive. So, yes, I do support saying I need, and others, I think, as the tradition states, to be cautious in sharing a passion that someone else might find maybe not offensive, but trying to tell me something, what I should do. And this is one program, or the 12-step programs, are one where we develop our own personal relationship with a source greater than ourselves. And I've done a lot of studying in the past and trying to figure out this or trying to figure out that. And I am grateful to say it is a power beyond my understanding. And I am grateful that it serves me and I can serve this power to the best of my ability. So thanks for letting me share. And I hope anyone on the line can realize that this is not a program that tells us what to believe. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Mary Ann from Michigan. Donna L., where are you calling from, Donna?
Hi, this is Donna L. from Clearwater, Florida. And can you hear me clearly or am I muffled? Because I'll come off speaker if I'm muffled.
I can hear you clearly.
Okay, good. I vowed today to not just listen to meetings and enjoy them, but to offer and share on meetings. So here I go. I did grow up in that organized religion, and God was someone you just obeyed and made sure, you know, you didn't do any bad things so that you would go to heaven. But I was born again in 1983 and had a personal relationship with Jesus. He became my friend, a friend I always needed growing up. I used to have imaginary friends. But now this was a real friend.
Is nobody listening about the 10th tradition?
I'm sorry, I don't know what that is.
You're being disrespectful. I'm sharing about page 11.
Please continue to share.
Okay, so not sure where I was. Well, it was wonderful, and I changed my life a lot. I stopped lying. I started reading the Bible, etc. But it wasn't until the OA and the 12 steps that I found in 2016 that really changed my life. It brought me so much closer to God, and it changed. It just changed my life totally. So now I have two wonderful books. I have the Good Book and the Big Book, and so much more through this program. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Donna L. from Florida, and thank you, everyone, for your shares. We need to be able to share without fear of interruption. Ollie Q., please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you, moderator, for your service. This is Polly Q., recovered in Northern California. What I'm reading here is that Bill really had no concept of a higher power, you know, in terms of what he'd been taught or told or whatever, you know, that he liked the idea and the moral teachings. And the part that I am really zoning in on is for myself, I had adopted those parts which seemed convenient and not too difficult. The rest I disregarded. Now this I can relate to, because this is a program based on the 12 steps. And when it comes to food addiction, that was my story. I adopted those parts which seemed convenient and not too difficult. The rest I disregarded. Because I had to grow in my experience in the steps, which, of course, is going to include a spiritual awakening. Absolutely, you know. Otherwise, I'd go to Weight Watchers. And I did go to that many times, and that failed me as well. And not because I couldn't follow the diet. I could follow the diet. But when I got to the 12 steps, I adopted those steps, which I found the most convenient. And, of course, the most convenient steps for me are the ones I can do and say, okay, now I'm one and done, and now the miracle's going to happen, and man, I'm going to be abstinent. That never happens for me, not in 17 years, not in 22 years. It never happened until I came in to this vision meeting and heard about the other steps, 10, 11, and 12, and that they were not just maintenance steps. Those were these steps that would remind me how to work steps 1 through 12 every day so that I could stay abstinent from this horrifying addiction. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Polly Q. I'm sorry I didn't realize we were running out of time. All right. Thank you, everyone. And yes, We do need to stay away from discussion of religion. So I appreciate what has been said about that. But I also just want to repeat that we also need to be mindful of not interrupting speakers' shares. So with that said, we will now close our meeting with a reading from the Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. And I will ask our reader, her name is, hold on just a moment, Sherry M., to read for us.
Sherry, yes. Hi, our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thank you, Sherry M. from Wyoming.